There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scene. Sadi Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Grim fool Asher on the 45. Well, it's a grim fool Asher on the 45.
The end of the set, the latter half kind of dedicated to births and deaths since my last show. We lost Asha Bosley, and I never even paid attention to the Brimful of Asha is about her, duh. Which I feel like Norman Cook, aka Fatboy Slim, was a big part of the success of that track, Corner Shop. You heard finishing off that set. John Waters turned 80. This week, you heard his It's in the Book from Sub Pop. He actually, I think, just put out something new too, but I couldn't play it because it's filthy. Hello. Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Wait, let me get your, okay. let me try again.
You never know which one.
Just keep talking for a second.
Just keep talking for a second.
Until I figure it out. I think that's the one.
Hello, are my levels there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Level, right?
I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I know we already talked about this, but now we're on the radio.
Yeah, now I can tell everyone. I'm fine. I'm in pain, but I'm fine.
It's good to see you being out and about. And
this is the longest I've left the house in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That's exciting.
You went through it. That was a big one.
Big one.
Huge.
I was going to ask if I could keep my uterus and like make a handbag out of it or something, but I felt like it might not be sanitary.
You got to at least ask and have your phone on at the time so you could get the response on radio.
Yeah. Have my phone on live stream the surgery.
Or at least the conversation. Hey, can I have my uterus?
I should have. So what have I missed, Alan? What have I missed at the station the last few weeks?
I've only been here on Fridays, I think. I don't know. I don't remember this afternoon.
I can guess
what happened at the station this week.
Okay.
What the hell do I know?
Don't get angry.
Sorry. No. No, I'm not going to get angry at you.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good excuse to like have everyone be super nice to me.
Yeah, they have to.
I'm in pain.
If they don't, they're going to have problems.
I should really milk it.
You have to milk it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even milking it. It's real.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's hard to take help, though. I feel like as somebody that has like prides herself on independence and looking out for myself and taking care of everyone around me and myself, when I can't, it's a nightmare. It's a living nightmare.
I get that. I completely understand that. But there are times, you know, you save it for when you really need it.
And yeah.
This is the time.
Now is the time.
So what do you need? What do you need?
I need you to do your show in 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll do that.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Do you have anything special you're going to discuss today?
Oh, just had a big pet issue this week. So let's be talking about dogs like I always do, but it got wild this week.
Oh, that sounds really stressful.
But just, you know, call up with your own problems. Not, you know, I'll talk a little bit about my
It's a safe dog. Space.
It is.
For
it
everyone
is.
to yeah.
That's what Ask Alan is.
Commiserate.
It's a safe space.
I love safe spaces, especially on the radio. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online WFMU.org. It's time to Ask Alan.
Do it.
Yes.
Yes.
Ask Alan.
Ask Alan.
Yes. If your girlfriend weak and she's stupid profiling,
yes.
You need some information, ask Alan. Ask Alan. That's what you get when everybody's styling. Ask Alan.
What?
Season them up, 1,000 Allen. Ask Alan. Ask Alan. I go Wu-Tang, brother, Iron Pine, Michelle. Yes, you got problems, ask Alan. I'm
stylin'. Yes.
Ask Alan.
What?
I'm wildin'.
I'm wild.
Ask Alan. Let's get to it, baby.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, diamond and pearl won't save you, brother. You know how I do, it'd enslave you, brother. If you got a problem, go and ask your brother. Go ask Alan out there. Your lover, she gonna need a person with a clear head and a balance. Yeah, see, the V8, baby, is Eagle Talents. You know, Ali Banger, I stay quiet and stay silent. If I got me some problem, I go ask Alan. Yes, you know the worst of the world is wildin'. Yes, I'm just sitting there profiling. Yeah, I just know how it's gonna go again. If you ain't right, you will never ever know the flow again. Yes, be silent out there, keep it low again. Yes, this world will take your shine and take your glow again. If you don't know, please just ask Alan. You get hit with claws out, baby. It's Eagle Talent.
Eagle Talent.
Yeah. Ask Alan.
What?
Season them up, 1,000 Allen. Ask Alan. Ask Alan. I go Wu-Tang, brother, Iron Pine, Shaolin. Yes, you got problems, ask Alan. Ask Alan. I'm Stalin.
Yes.
Ask Alan.
What?
I'm wildin'.
I'm wildin'.
Ask Alan.
Ask Alan.
Let's get to it, baby.
Let's get to it, dog.
Thank you.
That's how we like them, right out of the box. Who do we have on the phone?
I'm just going to say my name is John.
Okay, John. This is Ask Alan. Advice on almost any topic. How can we help you, John?
All right, so this is kind of heavy, and I'm sorry to go there, but as a kid, I was abused by my father, and I learned a lot of defenses and just how to deal with, like, psychologically abusive people, and I'm grateful for all that I learned. But a friend of mine said to me that my face is often defensive, and that I tend to have kind of like a resting douche face or just an angry face. And I don't know how to deal with that. Like, I don't want to be defensive to people, but I don't know how to change my face, if that makes sense.
All right. Careful with the language. You were close there. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. So I think resting douche face is acceptable on radio, I think, but do you agree with the assessment that you have a defensive look on your face? When does your friend say that this face manifests itself?
Mostly when I'm just like meeting new people. I guess I look kind of like, I don't have like kind eyes or a welcoming face.
Oh, like Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's not terrible. So how many people have told you this besides your one friend?
Well, he's the only one, but like when he told me, I tended to look back at interactions with people and realize, like, I think he might be onto something, because I think I do maybe look off-putting or angry when I'm not angry, or defensive when I'm not at all.
And then it got you thinking about why that might be the case?
Right, yeah.
And you sort of correlated it to life experiences?
Yeah, I think I am. Like, I do tend to have my guard up when I don't need to.
All right, well, when you don't need to is kind of, how do you interpret when you need to or when you don't? You think you might just have it up more normally than, more often than your average person?
Yeah, exactly.
And you think that that's, and you think that hurts you in life?
I do. Like, I think that that people tend to maybe see me as, like, hard when I'm not. Hard. I just, like, I don't want to get hurt, you know?
New people?
Right, yeah.
Do you think you meet net less new people as a result of it?
Yeah.
So you feel like you're losing friendships with people you might want to be friends with because you have this hard look on your face, the hard defensive look on your face.
Right. I think my first impression that I give to people is not at all what I'm actually like, maybe.
Okay, but maybe it is a little bit because that defense is real.
Yeah, true.
It's not how you want to be all the time.
Right, yeah. Right.
And do you have, what are your relationships like with people that do know you?
Great. I mean, my kids make fun of me. I have a son and a daughter who are both, like, now adults, but they make fun of me because I can be kind of cynical, but... they also know I'm really kind of warm and squishy, you know?
All right. So you managed to, do you have a wife?
I'm separated from my partner.
Okay. But you managed to have relationships, intimate relationships that brought you kids. And so you've had plenty of quality relationships in your life, except besides, even in spite of this situation with your face.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that you are defensive, it sounds like it definitely sounds normal. You just don't want it to be as prevalent.
Right. Yeah. I want to figure out how to be more like open and willing to, be like vulnerable with people, I guess, when I first meet them or something.
How many new people do you meet? I meet like no one.
Not that many, but, you know, like, I retired recently, and so I'm kind of going in new circles.
Okay.
And yeah, so like.
And now you're like thinking about it when like now you're like aware of it because it's been brought up to you, and now when you meet new people, you're like, oh God, I must have my mean face on.
Yeah.
You're like thinking about it. Do you think it would be weird to just can you practice? Can you be can you just smile? So when you think you got this mean face on, can you just try to like at least maybe smile a little? Or I don't know. Yeah, on one hand, I just want to say you have a very normal response to what happened to you, and you also have healthy relationships and a lot of good friends, and it doesn't seem to be interfering with your life, but it's something that's bothering you that you want to change. So what can you do to change it?
Yeah, I guess I could practice. I just, like, when I think about practicing how to smile, it just makes me just horrified.
Why don't you role play in safe spaces with, like, people you're really close with that can laugh about this with you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe, like, role play. Like, make you're meeting new people and have your friends role play. But, I mean, the main thing is nothing's wrong with you. You have a very natural defense mechanism that makes a lot of sense to me. And it doesn't seem to be hurting you big time, but it's bothering you enough that you want to change. So all I could think is that's the only thing that comes to my mind is maybe you could try practicing. Think you're conscious of it. So maybe practice in safe spaces with friends or even your kids. Maybe your kids could get a kick out of this little game that you're playing.
They would, for sure, yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense to me.
All right,
thank you.
And follow up on the Ask Alan answering machine, which is the new role for the Ask Alan answering machine, follow-up calls.
All right, you got it.
And good luck, and I'm sorry you went through what you went through, and I'm glad you seem to have made a real life in spite of it. Amazing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Hello, you're on the radio.
Alan, it's Andrew in Newark. How you been?
What's up, Andrew? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been busy this time of day a lot of the time. That guy with the face, same life situation the whole time. I have advice for him, if I may, if you're willing.
Sure. Go for
it. Okay, same thing. I was abused when I was younger. Very tense. Didn't realize it. Resting, blank face. Whole life. What worked for me was getting into the service industry. When I moved to San Francisco, my girlfriend was a waitress, and I was having a hard time finding a job there. I ended up working in restaurants, became a bartender, got used to dealing with people, right? But that's one way. The thing is, meditate, and you're an adult now, this guy, and just you gotta find a way to like come to space. You don't realize that. He says it, actually, he's really got a grasp on it. He doesn't notice he's doing it, but now he sees it.
Yeah.
Gotta just accept that. They're not going to hurt you. You're an adult. You're safe now. You're past all that. Just meditate on it and just say that to yourself. Make some kind of a mantra. This isn't going to hurt me. They can't hurt me because they don't, they're not predators.
Right.
It's safe. And over time, you got to work on it and you'll be conscious and it'll go away. Because, like, I don't have that problem at all anymore. I did my whole life. I was always very tense and defensive.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah, Andrew, that was awesome. Thank you.
No problem, man. Great to talk to you,
thanks for calling. You too. Bye-bye. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello.
My name is Ralph.
Hey, Ralph. I know you. Right?
Mm-hmm. And I have a question.
Yeah? Go ahead.
What do you call black and white? I mean, black and white and red all over and furry and has 16 legs.
Ooh, black and white and red all over and has 16 legs. I'm calling it the goat, the 16-leg mythological one-time Santa goat.
No, it's the 16-legged Santa goat that got sunburned and is reading a newspaper.
And is reading a newspaper. Oh, it's black and white and he's sunburned. The Santa goat sunburned and reading a Santa goat on a beach with a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And Santa Goat's name now is the Spring Santa Goat.
Because it's spring. Santa Goat adapts.
And what I want to say is...
Yeah?
How do you not get tired when you're in pajamas?
Oh, I'm always tired. It doesn't matter what I'm in, Ralph.
I'm generally a tired human being. I mean, if you're in pajamas, you're supposed to be tired, right? That's the whole
point.
Yeah.
Well, like, what happens if you wear them to school on pajama day? You have a pajama day.
That's almost irresponsible of the teacher unless they're going to let you nap all day.
Like, maybe they, like, put, like, a chip into your brain or something?
Maybe what?
Maybe they put a chip into your brain or just, like, wake you up with a stick and be like, get up!
I do not support the chip in the brain or the stick. I do not support these ideas.
But what happens? You get the 16 legend goat to come.
I mean, so far it sounds like the Santa goat hasn't hurt anybody yet. I think he's not dangerous.
Ralph, can I cut in for a moment?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan, this is Ralph Dead.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the resting B-face guy, and I thought, I was telling my kids, man, he's got to meditate. So I really love that one caller was chimed in on that same thing. But I have one more piece of advice, if I may.
Yeah.
If I were him, I would go with blunt honesty. Hey, guys, people told me I kind of make a weird face sometimes when I meet new people. So I hope that doesn't happen right now. I think that would disarm everybody, diffuse the mood. It would automatically let their guard down, laugh. Yeah, you were kind of making a face and, you know, future best friends.
Yeah, but then they might be like, I don't know. It kind of sort of leads into possibly him having to talk about something that he doesn't want to talk about, which is why, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He seems to have a pretty good handle on it. And I like the meditating thing. And he seems to be thinking a lot about it. And he also seems to be pretty good in life. So I think he's doing okay. And hopefully he follows up.
But also, why does the 16-legged goat meditate? Well, I'm just only talking about the 16-legged goat right now. What the? Okay.
Ralph. Hey, Ralph, I got
Where
like three.
Where does he meditate, though?
Ralph, I got three more calls coming in. We'll talk about the goat next week. All right.
We'll keep listening.
Ralph.
Bye.
Ralph, always love when you call.
The 16-legged goat watches over you while you sleep.
Hell yeah. In his pajamas. Bye, Ralph. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello?
Hi, I have a question for Alan.
Yes, who are we speaking to?
My name is Bonnie. You can call me Bon.
Hi, Bon. Where are you calling from, Bon?
Fairfield, New Jersey, West Exit, Chelsea.
You got a really strong Essex accent.
Is that really?
Mm-hmm.
I swear, people overseas say, like, they think this is like normal American, but they'll find it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
So I got a question for Alan.
Yeah.
Will people shun me because they know I love to cook and post pictures and everything if I never use my oven or stove because I use my air fryer, which has like all the different settings for bake and, you know, all those things, slow cooker, and my microwave, which also has a convection oven.
Okay. So what's the question you're asking me?
My question is, like, people shun me if they say, oh my gosh, you don't even use your oven and stove, like, You're not worthy.
It's only the end product that matters, right?
Yeah, but they don't get to taste it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how do they know what you're using to cook?
Well, sometimes I give food to people and they just assume, you know, like if I have like, not a date because I don't want anybody to come to my house because then they'll see I'm not using my oven and stove.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's like a stigma.
I mean, you know, I think it's all about the end product. And if you're giving your food out and the people like it, that's all that matters. And whatever. Everybody uses their air fryers now. Even the big chefs. Listen, Bonnie. Use what works for you. You don't like. Don't let these food stigmas, these cooking stigmas, hold you down. All right?
Thank you. Thank you. I needed to hear that.
You're welcome, Bonnie.
You.
Good luck.
Bye.
Hi, you're on the radio. Whoa.
Hey, Alan.
Whoa. Who's this?
It's Michael G. in Brooklyn.
Don't curse.
I won't.
All right. Where are you calling? Oh, yeah, Brooklyn. All right. What's going on?
So I get this call the other day. No caller ID.
Ugh.
They leave a message, and they go, this is the Essex County Sheriff's Office calling you on an urgent legal matter, and they say my name and everything. and they say, please call us back, 973, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I Google the number, and it's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And I even found the Essex County Sheriff's Department online, and, you know, it all has 973-621, like uniform numbers. Yeah. So basically, my question, this is a scam, right?
Yes, that is absolutely 100% a scam. It was probably some Guido from Essex County, New Jersey, that is that's hustling you. Yes, scam.
Okay.
100%.
Great.
And if I'm wrong and there's a warrant out for your arrest, it's not my fault. I'm not good at this.
Well, they're going to have to dig me out. I'm not going to them. That's
yeah, it's
sure.
too far anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't.
All right.
All right, bye. Oh, that's a good, nice. I like a nice beginning rush, the beginning of Ask Alan. Whole bunch of calls there. That's nice. I didn't even get him to say it yet. This is Ask Alan, advice on any topic. I am a incredibly unqualified purveyor of advice, if you haven't figured that out yet. Well, you probably have by now. All kinds of stuff going on. Lots to talk about. First thing I want to say is the Ask Alan answering machine is evolving. I don't think it was good for people to leave messages on what advice they need on the answering machine, because then we can't talk and we can't really get to the bottom of things. It's not really that entertainment for somebody to call and say, I want to know what I should have for dinner. I play the message and then say something. Not effective. But what it is going to be effective for is follow-up calls, because a lot of these things, we get these conversations with people, and then we never know how they resolve, or if they don't resolve, or if I gave terrible advice, or if they end up in jail or in the hospital because of my advice. So this is what we need the Ask Alan answering machine to be for: follow-up calls on advice. If you heard something that you didn't get to call up on, if you have some good advice. So the Ask Alan answering machine phone number is 973. Write this down: 973-352-7908. 973-352-7908 for follow-up calls. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, Alan. It's Chris from Buffalo.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Pretty good. I got a different little piece of advice, or a different little problem for you to solve today.
Oh, solving problems here on Ask Alan. Go ahead.
Yeah, so in my town, there's a bar called the Mary Shelley, and it's like a goth literature themed bar.
This is in Buffalo? It's goth literature?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And I want to make a more of a regular habit to go.
Uh-huh.
But I've always been very awkward and like weird in bars, because like usually it's not my kind of scene, considering I'm not really a drinker. So like I'm always worried I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb, because I'm just kind of the guy like sitting in the corner just chilling while everybody else is like socializing and having a great time. So I was wondering, any advice to kind of help defeat the scaries when it comes to something like that?
Well, first of all, if it's a goth literature bar, it sounds like they're trying to sort of create an environment where people are potentially reading at this place. Is that right?
Yeah, they do book clubs every so often too, yeah.
And it doesn't sound like a bad place for you to go with a book or a magazine. And if you got the I'm not drinking stigma, just get a club soda with a lemon. And if this is a place, but also maybe do you have a friend in the neighborhood that you can go with once or twice, like not by yourself, just to kind of like break the ice? And why don't you go there with a friend or somebody else once or twice?
No.
No?
Funny you should say that. I have a friend that lives right across the street from it.
Oh, well, there you go. So the first time you go, even if that guy's not into it, say, would you just go with me like once or twice, just so I could sort of maybe meet a person or two, meet a bartender. And then it sounds like a place that's probably pretty cozy. You could bring a book, wear some black lipstick. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know,
I think I could rock it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be fine. I'm sure they're very accepting of the vibe that you're going to bring there. It sounds like, I get it. I don't like going to a new place by myself, but this is kind of setting you up to be able to do it. So do it, go with a friend first, and next time bring a book. get yourself a drink. It doesn't have to be alcohol, and hang out on a comfortable chair, read, look around, people watch, and see what happens.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
You got it.
All right.
Somebody call me an idiot on the comments board because I don't give out the phone number. I all right. 201-209-9368. I'm getting a lot of calls. All right. Pochon. Jeez. Hi, you're on the radio.
Oh, hey, Alan. This is Mark in Brooklyn. I called about a month ago. I'm a sales guy that was thinking about leaving my job. And you, you know, you listened quite effectively. You said I should call back when my wife was available. She's here if you want to talk to her.
Oh, yeah. So go over the, tell me your scenario again. I remember it, but just tell me a little more.
Yeah, the scenario is I'm in my late 50s. I've got a sales job that's high pressure. I make good money, but I think it's causing me some mental health challenges, stress, you know, stress affecting my physical health, you know, and I've got other things I love to do. I teach meditation in my free time. I play guitar. I'm a musician. I've got a little baby at home. So those are the details. And I think after we talked about it, you said, this is interesting, but I should probably talk to your wife. And she wasn't home, but now she is.
All right. Can I put her? Can you put her on the phone?
Yeah, here she is. Her name's Morgan. Here you go.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for talking to you're live on the radio.
Oh, right. Hi, radio.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this potential change?
How am I feeling about this potential change? Well, I'm not sure how realistic the change is. I'm not sure what the plan would be.
Is he the is he the primary breadwinner?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And how long would you guys be able to sort of hang comfortably without the sort of the kind of money that he's bringing in now?
Oh, we wouldn't. It would be a matter of like downsizing our life.
Oh, immediately.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm an artist and a consultant, and I have like my own consulting practice, but you know, with artists and small nonprofit organizations. And I don't make nothing, but we don't really, you know, we're not really accustomed to the nonprofit breadwinner lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah.
I can say.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we could, it would just be a massive overall change.
Do you rent or own?
Rent.
Right. And it's a Brooklyn rent. Is it, are you, tied into what's it called, the rent control,
rent stabilizer? No, yeah. I mean we've been in the same place for like 10 years and we have a good relationship, so, but it's not like legally stabilized.
Okay, gotcha. And you, these other projects, what's your husband's name again?
Mark.
These other projects that he has, do you see them as potentially lucrative enough to carry him? He said he's what, a meditation teacher?
Meditation and music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What? I mean, you know, I work like it. I think it's just it would, again, like just be a total shift, right? Because
yeah,
he's business and he would be going essentially nonprofit. And that's what I do. Like I said, I'm used to it, but.
He'd be going full time nonprofit. He'd be leaving what he's doing now and going full time nonprofit.
Well, I don't know what he would be doing. That's also kind of the question is,
This is the first time you're talking about it.
It's the first time like with any real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the options are. You know what I mean? Like there hasn't been a, I could do this or I could do this or, you know, like what that would actually look like. Like if so it sounds like it would be us living on my earnings for a minute. And also, like, that I don't, you know, I'm a self-employed and I, you know, don't have health insurance at the moment. So there's that, all right, too.
All right. So, all right. Let me put Mark back on the phone. I got some thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Mark.
How'd that go, Alan?
Well, so what I want to ask you is, like, do you have anything set in stone that you would absolutely, I don't think you could leave your job until you are securely locked in to something that's at least going to be half the, that's going to make everybody feel secure. If there's a little bit of a scale down, sure, but you can't be doing without an income for a while. You got to have something that's secure. Who has the benefit? Yep. Who has the health benefits?
Mine, I do.
Oh, and does Morgan have benefits with the nonprofit if you lose?
No, she's on my plan.
And
so you're right, it would be a huge shift.
Yeah, what are you going to do for health insurance if you?
I don't know.
Whatever job you take has to have, if it's a scale down in price, it has to have really good health benefits. It has to be enough money that it supports, you know, it doesn't have to be as much money as you were making, but it should be where you could carry half the weight and the bennies.
Understood, Alan. That's very practical advice. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. So practical I am. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, it's Jim the Poet here.
Oh, hi, Jim. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to follow up on my Ask Alan call a few weeks ago.
Oh, well, I don't remember anything. What did you call again?
What do you mean you don't remember anything? What are you talking about?
Just tell me what you talked about.
You said I got to go on the 3K, 5K.
Oh, right.
How many miles
right.
is that?
Yeah, we're doing the 5K.
Now, do I need to eat like a pound of spaghetti the night before, or how's that work?
They say to carb up, but I think generally what you should do is raise your arms and your knees as you're walking, but walk.
Walk the whole time? Are you walking the whole time? Because it sounds like Brian G is going to be,
I'm going to be really slow jogging. It could almost be considered a walk.
Slow jog. Because I put on, I got these running shoes, and they feel pretty good, but I've only walked around a little bit with them, just to break them in a little.
I mean, if you want to start, run like a jog, really slow jog a half mile and see what happens.
A half mile? How
First,
far is that?
Half mile.
How many blocks is that? 10 blocks?
Put it in your machine.
I got to put it in my machine?
Listen, my advice to you is the thing is made there. You're probably going to be walking, but make it look like you're running by raising your arms and knees.
What about if I'm in an Elmo suit? Is that going to help?
That's even better. You should definitely wear an Elmo suit and walk raising your
arms. Can I crash over your house the night before so I'm ready to go?
Yes, please.
Yeah, is that going to be okay?
Yes, I even put a new banister in the attic.
Will you ask Tico? If that's okay,
I will ask Tico. He's not here right now because
he's not. He might not be comfortable with a new dog moving into the house.
He's going to need a new dog, and it's a very good segue because his girlfriend is moving tomorrow, and I have to talk about that in a little while. So,
oh, it's tomorrow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. How do you break that over to the dog?
Please, it's been such a week with the. I got a whole story to tell about this.
Oh, well, I don't want to ruin your story or anything like that.
So Luna, whose picture is on the playlist and comments board, with a giant contusion.
Yeah, no, you're Tico's favorite person. Oh, it was a contusion?
It was an impalement in the woods. Me, Tico, and Luna were in the woods. A week before she's moving, leaving us, Luna almost died in the woods. She got hung. She got impaled by a branch.
What?
And it got hung up in her harness, and she couldn't get out. And it was just me, Tico, and Luna alone in the woods, and it was absolutely terrifying. And I had
it
to get
it. Sounds like a horror movie. I thought Montclair was like a safe place.
Yeah, there's these beautiful woods there, but they have a lot of fun together in the woods, and she got hurt really, really, really bad. So if you look at that picture, you could look and see this giant grapefruit size, what's it called? Hematoma.
Are you guys going to leave me in the woods hanging from a tree?
No, you're going to be in Branchbrook Park. You'll be fine. The cherry blossoms will be gone, but you'll be okay.
There's cherry blossoms?
Yeah, but they just ran out. They're done.
I can't tell the difference with this dog. I mean, this dog looks okay to me.
This is Luna. No, look at her chest.
Her chest?
You're looking at the playlist and comments board?
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't know.
Luna got hurt really bad. Really, really bad.
She's okay?
Yeah, she's going to be okay. Yeah.
All right.
And it was a week. Anyways.
Are we going to get 3K tattoos or 5K tattoos? Or what's going to happen?
Maybe we'll just get Tico's... paw print. Tico and Luna's paw prints tattooed.
Yeah. Where can I put those, you think?
I don't know. Huh?
Well, I'm just following up on the advice I got before. Now, I'm hoping I hope to get through the whole 5K and not end up on a gurney.
I recommend walking in your Elmo suit.
You want me to bring the Elmo suit?
I think so. Yeah,
it's going to be a nice day.
I don't know. It's 2.5 weeks from now. No, it's like what? Like a week and a half.
It's like 10 days from now.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about?
All right. Yeah. I don't know. Wear the Elmo suit. I don't know if it's going to be nice.
This is your plan. This is your, you know, you put the pressure on me, and now I'm, you know, I'm getting ready.
It's going to be fun. I got a room for it. I made banisters for you.
You made a banister?
Yeah, so you don't fall in the hole in the attic.
I mean, I fall all the time. You know, it's okay.
No, you'll be all right. All right, so we're doing the 5K on May 3rd. Me, you, and Brian.
All right. So do I have to call in next week and ask Abby if this is a good idea or not? Or how's it
yes.
going to work?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to put it on my schedule.
Thanks for reminding me about Abby. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, you're on the radio. Hello. Oh, hi. Yo.
Hello, dear Alan. Please listen to this.
Uh-oh.
I will not curse smiley. Face emoji. Also, I am not a robot. How dare you think that I am a robot? I know human slang. Example is that
what's
I found the letter U instead of the word U-ha.
Definite robot. I got gun shy with that because I got in trouble. I hung up on somebody who was, it was rude of me. Anyway, as I started saying, Luna, Tico's girlfriend, they've been together since they were 4 months old. They've spent every day with each other and night often since they were little puppies. So I've been trying to spend as much time with them as I possibly can, getting them to the beach and the woods. So last Monday, her dad was at work. He teaches physics at college. I had them in the woods off leash, and Luna they were running full speed around chasing each other. And she ran straight into a sharp branch that was parallel with the ground. And then it got hung up under her harness. So she was flailing and screaming like nothing I had ever heard. By the time I got the harness out of her, she had this giant hematoma. She was bleeding a little bit. And then I heard a little gurgling, but she was just swallowing her spit. And I thought that she was bleeding out into this hematoma. I thought she was dying in the woods. I was strangely, I know it's animals and people and we're different, but there was 2 or 3 minute period where it was the worst moment of my life because we were alone in the woods and I had to get her to the car and get her to an emergency room, and I didn't know whether to call her dad immediately because I did think she was going to die within seconds. And then I was trying to carry her out, but I was far from the car and I couldn't. I put her down and she started walking on 3 legs. She was hurt really bad, but she just kept looking at me, and she got out of those woods, the 3 of us, and we got to the emergency room, and it did not pierce her lung or her heart, but she was hurt bad. And she's still healing, and she spent tons of time with her over the past 3 days, and now I'm just more in love with her than I ever was, and now she's leaving tomorrow. But she's moving up to the woods, upstate New York, and we're going to go see her a lot. And it was really friggin' traumatizing. And it's weird how... It's not weird how close we get to animals, because I strongly believe that we can be just as close to our pets as we can to people. It's easy for me to say it. I don't have kids, but if I lost that girl that day, I don't know. I wouldn't be here today and my whole life would have changed. I don't know where a lot of our lives would have changed. She's a sweet girl. You could see her picture on the WFMU.org playlist and comments board. She's healing well, Luna girl. Thanks for listening to that story. Let's take another call. Hello, this is Ask Alan. Who am I speaking to?
Alan, it's Andrew again. I actually need advice, and it's the kind that you love to give.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Yeah, it's a home improvement situation. But it's this time, I have a really hysterical story about a scam call, or should we skip it? It's good.
No, skip it. Just get to the advice, because I got a lot of calls coming in.
Okay.
Today. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and I shut the radio off. I feel like there's context to say the term, but I don't want to curse on the radio.
Yes, please.
Tico's B-word, do they leave yet, or?
Tico's girlfriend's leaving tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah. All right. So, the city tried to kick us out of here like 3 weeks ago, unrequestedly. It was a whole thing, and they don't have the right to. but it kind of brought into the situation. I really need to do home improvement. Like, I'm living in this ramshackle thing that I inherited from my hetero life mate or whatever, Red, and it's terrible. But it's home. It's 3 years. I was like the most home I've ever had in my life. And the roof is messed up.
So what do you need? Give me a project that you got to work on.
Well, here's the thing. They built this wall, our next door neighbors, and there's this great place to start from scratch and build a new thing. And I really kind of want to do that. But I'm still, like, I'm so, you know, stuck on this place because I've been here for so long. And I don't get that much done all the time. You know what I mean? I have only so much effort. Like, I'm really realistically going to put forth that I'm not sure which way to go.
So, what's the question?
Oh, sorry. Fix up this place or start a new thing.
But if you started a new thing, you're going to be leaving this place?
Well, no. I mean, not really. Because then, plus, like, I don't really want anyone to know about it because the location of it is just so tremendous. It's just inside a huge cement wall.
Oh, the other one.
And it's
so this
it would
is
be
kind of
my fully functional Beyblade.
Okay. And so and it sounds like if this is going to be your place, the first thing you want to do is make it more discreet from the outside, because this is a place where you're just going to be better. I don't know. This is where you're going to be. You're not paying rent here. You're just hanging out and living, right?
Yeah, we're free. It's the free.
Yeah. But you can't be.
Violent.
You want to stay as discreet as you can.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about it. It's like you really won't know. No, I don't want. Well, you can't keep a total secret, like, you know. But yeah. No one will be able to see it, and it's very. Yeah, that's for sure.
It sounds like the first project, if you want to start working on this place, and this is going to be a place where you're going to be hanging out a lot, is you want to make it work on the discreetness, but, you know, keeping it a place where you could go for a long time without getting discovered.
Yeah, totally. I figured out the best styrofoam. I'm going to kind of like patent Ghost Army technique. It's going to be pretty awesome. But I got to do the roof here. And I mean, I don't know. I just, like, I don't know where to start putting my effort. First,
so, like, the roof as in, you know, like, you got it's leaking and you got to make sure that the leaks don't come in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this thing. It's like, oh, what do you call those things? We're gonna stretch out gazebo canopy stuff, right? It's just this ramshackle, idiotically built thing. And basically, I'm gonna build like a new a roof over this roof because it's just so there's all these peaks and valleys.
Yeah, so you get a big enough canvas to pull it over, so where the water can only go over the holes. Right.
But, well, the thing is, you know, a roof is supposed to be, like, you know, flat, you know, on a, you know, an angle, you know, so water runs down. But the point is, you don't, like, have, like, you know, there's all these valleys in this, and water's always pools. I have fixed this roof, I can't even think of 15 times, probably. I put, like, new, and it's just always going to fail. That's why I'm going to build the second roof over it, just, you know what I'm saying, a real roof the right way, you know, so that it's flat and water runs.
But it's still just going to be a canvas, like a giant, really strong tarp, or are you going to actually do roofing?
No, I mean, I want to, but, like, but I have this really good plastic material. It's not like tarp, but it's very strong stuff. And basically, I got the street signs, like, that they put,
how,
you know, like,
how
like
high
stop
is this
sign
roof?
On.
How high is this roof?
Oh, 7 feet, I guess.
Oh. Ah, get up there with tar. Get up there with a bucket of tar and just go cover the whole goddamn thing with tar.
I used to be a roofer.
Yes. Tar. Like, what's that stuff called in that red can? Just cover the whole thing with tar.
Yeah.
And then the next time...
Roofing cement.
Yeah. But do the whole thing. Just smear it all over the roof with a giant... what do you call it?
Yeah, you know, the guy I used to work for, Jermaine, New Jersey Roofing Maintenance. Great company.
Don't be advertising roofers.
Yeah, anyway. All right.
That's my suggestion.
Oh, my God.
Work on your roof and then make the other place discreet. All right.
Ooh, I don't want you to hear this, that Lisa is screaming. She's the most horrible sound I've ever heard a human make in my life. So I'm going to go. People don't need to hear this.
Yeah,
thank
we don't
you,
need
Alan.
To hear that. Thank you.
Take care.
Oh, guy's squatting and hiding out and living a rough life down there, Andrew. But he's doing it. He's making it work. Yeah, so Luna Girl, the crazy how much it knocked the wind out of me since Monday. I was completely incapacitated from Luna's experience with Luna, and I am so thankful that she's going to be okay. It's still today. I'm still like immediately the blood just ran out of my body, and I didn't know how I was going to move while I was waiting for her to collapse. She made it. So now, tomorrow, me and Tico got a new direction to go in, because what I've been realizing since we've just been together a lot and been taking care of Luna is that she really kept the both of us happy. Luna is definitely was the spark. Just always insisted on playing, kept that dog so happy. So he's going to be broken to pieces without Luna Girl. We're sad, but I also know that, you know, this is a world where people's families are being blown up, and it's all relative, but I'm sad about my dog life right now. Abby from Mars is co-hosting next week, and I can't wait, because I love hanging out with Abby, and I think she's got a really unique voice on the radio, and I can't wait to give advice with her. So make sure you mark your calendars. The phone number here, in case I didn't piss off that guy who yelled at me before, is 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. As mentioned, follow up with these calls on the Ask Alan answering machine, 973-352-7908. If you want to get on the Ask Alan email list, send me an email to Alan, A-L-A-N, at WFMU.org. And if you, during marathon, if you got the Ask Alan advice book premium, designed by Greg from Zone 5, it is fantastic. They're in the building, and they're awesome. And I don't want to listen to this bed music anymore, so I'm going to change that. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Pete.
Hey, Pete, what's going on? Where are you calling from? Whoa.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Calling from Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yep.
Where in New Jersey, if you don't mind me asking?
Cranford.
Oh, all right. I know Cranford.
Yeah.
Think they got a racist mayor?
No, that's next door. That's not us. That's
Clark. Okay. Good. All right. What's going on?
Well, here's the thing. What do you do with people who take a dog, take their dog, ugh, and I'm very sorry to hear about your dog. That's
Luna
really
Girl.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
And I hope she does. She does well.
She's gonna. Thank you.
Anyway, this is a situation I have encountered a couple of times. People who have a dog, and they go into an area where there are signs everywhere saying no dogs allowed, and they just walk into the area. Mm. And then when they're challenged, they go, well, one person, I told him, you know, you're not allowed on this side, because it was near a dune where endangered birds are breeding, right? So they get scared of the dogs. You could have the Mother Teresa of dogs.
Yeah.
And they'll still get scared and fly away and leave their little chicks to die, right?
Yep.
So this one lady says to me, it's a service dog. Right. This was not a service dog. There was nothing service about this dog. The lady was walking fine. She looked perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Another guy comes on, and I say, excuse me, you know, dogs are allowed over on the Bayside.
Oh, you're at Sandy Hook?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He goes, he says to me, go F yourself. So I say,
don't
what?
Curse. Don't curse. Please, don't curse.
I said, what?
You're not going to curse, are you? Are you going to curse?
No, that's all I said.
All right. You said what?
So Mr. Tough Guy, he just keeps walking away.
Right.
And he goes even closer to the restricted dunes area.
So what time of the year was this?
This is summertime. This was like last summer.
Yeah.
You know, twice within about a month.
Yeah. So Sandy Hook dogs are allowed on the Bayside. They're only allowed. I take my dogs to Sandy Hook a lot. They're only allowed on the beach side. What is it? September to March, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I have never taken them there in the summer, because once people start coming, I do not take them to the beach. But I have taken them to the beach, to Sandy Hook Beach, about after I saw the sign, it was March had already passed. It was like the first week of April. I took them on the beach. There was no people. I do not let them on the dunes. And if I had got called out on it, they were getting right off of the beach. But I made sure that there were no humans present. Now, here's my point in response to your question, because, yeah, people do challenge the rules when it comes to their dogs, because it's hard to find places to let your dogs run free. And a lot of people's dogs don't have the behavior. You can't get it. You know, my dogs, they go near the dunes. I'm like, get away from the dunes. They go near an area where there's wildlife that they're not supposed to be. But I have broken some of the signage rules, knowing that I have dogs that listen to me, that have really good recall. They stop immediately when I tell them something. However, I also get mad at people when I see their dogs in the dunes, when I see them pooping and they don't pick it up, when I see them. But I have violated rules of being in places where dogs are not supposed to be off leash, but I let them off leash, and stuff like that. So I might not be the right person to ask these questions to, you know, but I also get really mad at dog owners who are really disrespectful of the environment and of other people's space. And whenever my dogs are off leash and I see people coming, I leash them immediately. I stop them and I put the leash on. Right.
Yeah.
So, but I have violated geographic rules about where dogs are supposed to be off leash. So
the thing was, when I spoke to these people, I tried to be as courteous as I could have been. I was not like challenging them.
Yeah, and if you know that you're breaking the rule, like if I'm on a Sandy Hook beach and somebody says, "Hey, your dog's not supposed to be here," I'm leashing my dog, and I'm getting off that beach and I'm going to the Bayside. So yeah, these people were just jerks. You know what I mean? They're supposed to, when somebody sort of calls you out on a rule, you never know what people have been through with dogs. Some people, I know somebody here doesn't like dogs. And you never know what somebody's been through. You never know if somebody was attacked when they were a little kid or something. So if somebody just says something, you know, I was recently on a beach where a woman was videotaping me because my dogs were going in the water to catch sticks. And I was expecting to be like on some like social media post. Turns out I wasn't, I don't think. But yeah, some people just, these spaces, they think they're theirs because they spend a lot of time in these places. They don't want dogs running around on the loose. And I get that. They have the right, they have the right to. So that guy was wrong. And dogs, if you have invasive dogs that aren't going to listen to you when you tell them to get out of certain places, then they shouldn't be in those places. But
yeah, well, I mean, we my daughter has a couple of dogs and we take them down there. And one of them is really, they're basically, they're brother-sister twins. And one of them is really sedate and well-behaved. The other one just wants to run everywhere. So the one we can let off the leash, the other one we keep on the leash to keep her from going over into the dune area.
Yeah. Maybe, can you train that dog? Because even like Luna is a maniac.
She's gone through several trainings.
Because Luna runs like crazy, but if I have a whistle, and if I whistle, she stops, man. She just stops. So maybe try a whistle, a really loud, strong dog whistle. Sometimes
that's an idea.
Yeah, give it a shot. All right,
or one of those little devices where
that'll stop them.
People can't hear
a little
bit. The dogs hear it.
That's dog whistle. Yep.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
All right,
man.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right. I think I just sided with the wrong side there. I don't know. Hi, you're on the radio.
Oh, Alan, hey.
Hey, Zach.
How's it going?
Good, you?
Oh, doing great.
Nice.
Hey, excellent show. Always a pleasure to hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah, really sorry about Luna. I'm glad that you're able to get through it.
She's coming through,
she was too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that must have been terrifying.
It was strangely, I was never in such a... I was disabled for... I mean, I kept moving and kept making things happen, but man, I thought that I was going to be too panic stricken to do anything. And I managed to get us out of there. We managed to get out of there. She acted. She knew I couldn't do it on my own. Luna got us out of there. Definitely.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I look forward to seeing that written out or something sometime. Anyway, to cut to it. So if you're working with people on like a creative project and you want them to kind of pick it up a bit, take it a little more seriously, what's the, you know, like a good system for that?
Well, give me an example.
Well, creative, like audio things, and you know, some people are contributing, but you like them to, you know, maybe give it a different iteration, give it a little more polish, sand it down a bit more. You know, it's a little rough still.
I mean, usually if you're collaborating on a creative project, usually you're working with people that you have a good creative flow with. You know.
Oh, this is random. Some of these people are random contributors.
What is this project? Tell me about the project.
It's an audio world around the telephone.
An audio world around the telephone? What?
Yeah, the high level concept is basically you're listening to audio, but the connective tissue between the different thematic pieces is
this,
the telephone.
Is this a job? Just for your work?
No. No, this, well, I mean, I'm doing it through my business, but no, we're hoping to monetize it possibly in the future.
Oh, you're doing it through your business, and there's somebody who's working with you who's just not carrying their weight or just not adding enough?
Well, some people are adding different things, and yeah, I mean, you go like, ooh, I like this, where this is going, but let's, like, iterate again.
Do you have meetings?
And they're like, well,
do you have
no,
meetings?
It's pretty loose right now.
Oh, you have to have meetings then. If you feel like some people are not contributing enough or not contributing what needs to be contributed, why don't you have like a weekly meeting or like a bi-weekly meeting and talk about like where you're at, and everybody can have their say, go around the table, go around the Zoom or whatever, and talk about it.
So you want me to introduce a meeting? You want me to kill the free spirit right now and introduce the first meeting?
Yeah, meetings are a free spirit. Meetings are good. Meetings, I like meetings. I think meetings are...
With a beverage, right? You know, coffee's good.
Whatever.
Afternoon whatever. Tea, a beer.
I think a meeting. If you're feeling something's not happening and you don't want to be rude or just directly confront something, then have a meeting.
Call a meeting. Okay, I'm going to blame you if they say, why the hell are we trying to do a
meeting? That's fine.
Right,
if it goes terrible, just blame me and follow up on the Ask Alan Answer Machine and say the whole project fell apart. All right?
I love the reboot, Alan. Thank you. Cheers.
All right, Zach. I... Dios mio, this is Ask Alan. This is a fast one. Sometimes the calls don't come in. You gotta, or they come in, but, you know, they're sparing, far and few. And sometimes, managia la guita muerta. They just come. What else? I had so many things to talk about. Ask an Oracle is going to be on Radio Row. Steph Black, she's an oracle. You can call her up. It's going to be a live Radio Row. That's June 7th, Sunday. Abby from Mars, filling in next week. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Put the needle on the record with Billy Jam. Coming up in minutes. I want to say happy birthday to Johnny Salami. Today's his birthday. My best friend. Maybe we'll go do something tonight. Maybe not. 201-209-9368. Time for one more call. Do use the Ask Alan answering machine to follow up at 973-352-7908. Please, I think that'll be a nice addition to the show, hearing how things panned out. So we do have time for a couple more calls, or maybe one, but it should be you. Maybe you're starting college this fall, like my nephew Julian. Maybe you're trying to figure out where to live on at home or on campus. Ah, what happened? Oh, I thought the bed music was gone. I can't. Maybe the economy is messing you up. You're looking for a job, or you're trying to tighten your budget. Maybe gift giving is your thing that you need help with. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hi, let me turn this on.
What's up,
hey,
Peter?
Shut up.
Oh, who are you telling to shut up? The radio?
Yeah.
Don't curse, Peter.
I won't curse. Listen, I'm your Andy Rooney. I always call late.
I know you're my Andy
wrap
Rooney.
Up.
I know.
And I thought of two things. The person with collaboration, he can use the same solution as Lennon McCartney. Basically, they said, we'll put both our names on everything. So they're not competitive. Your name goes on it. You know, you're not going to... The other person's success is your success.
I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he was saying that one person wasn't contributing in a way that he thought
was useful.
Okay. And the other guy, and this is from Uta Hagen, who was method acting.
Uh-huh.
The person that the first caller, uh-huh. people thought he looked mean or angry.
Oh yeah.
Body language. Walk with your hands, your palms outward. If you walk, you feel in your body. If you have your hands facing forward when you walk, as opposed to in a fist, that's body language. It's not just in your face; it's in your body.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of what I told him, you know, to practice acting, but you're giving some more specific details. So method acting, right. For the guy who has the resting douche face.
In your whole body, your body will interpret, and it's for Uta Hagen, it was for the audience.
Okay.
Like how you walk will communicate how you feel.
I like it. I hope that guy's listening. Peter, thank you. I'm going to take one more call.
You're welcome.
You're listening to WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County, at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. You're the last call. This is Ask Alan. Who
hey,
am I speaking
Alan.
To?
This is Eleanor from Flamingo Heights, California. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Ooh, well, you got about less than a minute. Did you just curse? I forget. I dropped it because I thought you...
No, I said being more frugal.
Oh, okay. Whew, I mean, what do you eat every day? What's your breakfast?
Well, I cook at home. I live in the desert, so I don't go out a lot. But uh-huh. It seems like when I do go out, I spend a lot of money. So, you know, coffee, eggs, toast, smoothie, that kind of thing.
And where do you get your eggs from? Where are you getting your food from?
I do Imperfect Foods, sometimes Market or Costco.
Yeah, Costco. So it sounds like you're doing good. Do you make smoothies?
Yeah, I make smoothies.
Do you buy the big bags of mixed berries and stuff like that?
Yep, I do all that.
So you're cooking at home. Listen, you called at the end of the show, and I got to put the needle on the record on, so call back next week.
I'll call you next
week. All right, let's talk about this next week. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Thank you. This has been Ask Alan. Put the needle on the record, coming up now.
We must be on by now. Oh yes. It's put the needle on the record. It's Put the Needle on the Record, coming to you live from Winky Dinky Dogs. That's located on Telegraph Avenue at 45th Street in Oakland, California. And this is the first in a series of live remote broadcasts coming to you from Telegraph Avenue, which stretches all the way from B-Town, Berkeley, California, all the way to downtown Oakland, California, all the way down to Jack London Square. And we're going to be chatting with the owner of this fine establishment, his latest venture in an entrepreneurial life filled with amazing things that have taken place, including being a member of Digital Undergrounds. We're going to chat with Tierney Allen a little later. We're also going to have Boss One, regular guest, stopping by. Previous show guest, an old friend of mine, going back over four decades, Naru Quina in the house. I've known him since that five names ago. And, of course, Senior Gigio. Senior Gigio is here.
What's good, party people?
So how you doing, Senior Gigio?
Fantastic.
And we got a hell of a show lined up for folks today. Have you ever been here to this new... It's a new restaurant, Winky Dinky Dogs.
Never been here.
And you know that it got its name from... it's inspired by a movie, which we'll play a little bit from coming up, too, today.
Okay.
Why don't you swing the mic over there to our guest, Naru Quina.
What's going on, Bill?
Not too much, man. Step closer. Get closer to that microphone so I can hear you properly.
All right, how about that?
That's perfect. So, man, not only have you been doing this thing, well, actually, you said you started out in 79.
First day I heard Rapper, I'm about to say my record, but right. Rapper's Delight. Yeah, heard Rapper's Delight, and I was writing rhymes that same day. We loved it.
It sealed the deal for you.
No question.
Pull the mic a little closer to yours. I'll pull your seat a little closer to the mic. So, but not only have you been doing it since day one, and then back in 1986, I produced a rap, I think the first Bay Area rap contest on KALX, and you were the winner.
That's correct.
And back then you mentioned Rapaholic. The track that you did, you were called Sir Quickdraw, was Rapaholic, and you were Sir Quickdraw back then. And that was kind of like there was, a little later there was Sir Mix-a-Lot and all these Sir this
and
Sir that.
Yeah, we had Sir Too Short, used to be Sir Too Short. We had the Sir, but it was the dollar sign.
Right.
The S was the dollar sign for
so,
the Sir.
So when did you switch your name then?
Which time?
Because you've had how many names have you had, brother?
So I started off as Sir Quickdraw, and then I turned into MC Quick. Then I went to a brother named Quick, and then I changed my actual given name to Naru Quina. So now I just go by Naru Quina.
So Naru Quina is your actual legal name for...
Now it is, yeah.
Okay.
For about 30 years now.
And for filing your taxes, which you did quite recently.
Yes, sir.
But not only did you do that recently, but and this is what I give you major props for. You are such an uplifting spirit, and you're also incredibly prolific. I mean, up to this day, you never tire. So I'm going to play one of your songs. We're going to chat a little bit more later. But you did two new projects that just came out. Because you sent them to me, and I was like, you sent me one again. You send me by text. You go, hey, check this out. And I go, oh, you sent me that yesterday. I go, no, I got
this
two
is
new
another
ones.
Project.
So
right,
tell me about the two different projects, which we're playing something off today.
Okay, so the first one I sent you, I think I sent you the Buku Black Unity Conference Universal.
Right.
So that's a group of brothers and sisters who came together to just do music together and break all the boundaries. So in this group, we have Muslims, Christians, atheists, spiritualists, all coming together to do music together to uplift the community and show everybody that we can unite no matter what. So that's a very important project to me. We've been doing it for 3 years, and this is our first release, and we've been getting really good rave reviews from that one. And then the second project is my project called Black Velvet with my man Vincent Gordon, who used to go by the name Abdul Kabir. He's an incredible musician. He plays guitar, harmonica, piano. And then my other guy, Jabari Bars, who is an incredible engineer and producer. And so we just came together to make some music. And we didn't want to put any boundaries on it. So we did hip-hop. We got blues. We got jazz. We got rock. We got Indian-inspired music. It's just we just making fun music that we wanted to make.
Yeah. And the Buku Project, I love the fact that it sort of embraces all different religious backgrounds. But it's also all generations, too, right?
That's correct. So yeah. the eldest, Miss Carrie Cleveland, I believe she's 85, who I share a birthday with January 4th.
What? 85?
Yeah, she's 85. She sings...
Old school.
Yeah, she's definitely... We call her the Queen of Buku. And then I think we have the youngest probably might be in their 20s.
Okay.
You know, so it's from 80s. I'm in the 60s. We got some folks in the 50s. Yeah, so it's a beautiful project, man.
I love it. And, you know, with the Black Velvet project, I'm going to play the track All Over Again.
Oh, yeah, that's biographical.
Oh, and yeah, and I love how you shout out Oakland there. But even the title of the album, The Last to Be First, there's a lot of ones that are the first or the last. New albums came out recently. Wasn't it The Alchemist album, too, has a title, I think, like that, and some other one. But with your title, The Last to Be First, what do you mean?
I really don't want to tell you.
Okay.
I want everybody to just think about it.
To decipher.
What does it mean to you? Yeah, what does that mean to you?
Okay. But anyway, props to you for including the city of Oakland, where we're coming to you live from today. If you're in the town, stop by, get yourself a hot dog or
Winky
some other.
Winky Dinky Dogs.
Winky Dinky Dogs on Telegraph Avenue and 45th Street. We are doing the first of our Put the Needle on the Telegraph series. And coming up next is... the track from Black Velvet. You want to introduce it on WFMU, Nauru? Hold on. We seem to have lost your connection there. Try it again. Okay, hold on. All right, we seem to have an issue with that. We'll figure that one out. So anyway, let's get to it on WFMU, Nauru.